Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time again to get together, having a fellowship, having fun, enjoying the Lord, because joy in the Lord find the strength. And some of us went through the rough time. I can name a few. And sometimes I don't know about my brothers and sisters, but even though I should know better, I wonder why you allowing this kind of thing to happen. Why not those bad people? But then again, there's no one is good except God. You are sovereign God. You know all things, and nothing surprises you. And you have a reason for it. As a matter of fact, that's what we're going to study. When we go through the various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience, and the patience has its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Easy to say it, easy to read, hard to bear. Maybe that's why you put this book in our heart. As we open our heart to receive your word, give us wisdom. Please forgive the one who speaks, for his sins are many. And cleanse our sins. Cleanse us and make us whole. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of James is a practical, downright tool. As a matter of fact book. It's a practical, down-to-earth book. And whenever I hear somebody studying the book of James, I usually give them that look. It's like, oh, you poor thing, look. And now we are going to study, so you can look at me with all your poor thing like that. Now, it's called as a proverb of the New Testament because it's so practical. There's only 5 chapters. You can read that thing, honest goodness, you can read that thing in about 14, 15 minutes. By the time you finish it, you're convicted, you don't want to read it again, or you wonder, I don't get it, some portion, especially chapter 2 about faith and the doing things. So is this against the Romans? As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about that thing. It's not just about hearing the word of God, but doing. That's what it's emphasizing. If I am not willing to apply these things that we learn from the book of James, we better think again. Because as I told you before, much knowledge, much information result in much responsibility. We cannot say, oh, shucks, God, I didn't hear it. And I was standing in front of God and with you and has fall on my chin and say, I taught him, I taught her, and I didn't do it, and she didn't do it, or he didn't do it either. Because we cannot completely do this, follow every portion of this book of James, because we are sinful. But we can make a heck of a try. Come into the excellent, that's what God desires. And this book is a completely foolish thing to the people who do not know Jesus. And I like to dissect this book of James, and I titled it as How to Handbook. That's the title I go for the entire book of James, because it's such a good manual. First, we find it talks about the trials and tests that we should consider as joy. It talks about the listening and doing it. And talks about no favoritism within the church, within the body of Christ. And talk about the faith and deed. And talks about taming the tongue. I can pretty much guess that all of us are guilty of that. And the wisdom. And it talks about submitting ourselves to God. And boasting about tomorrow. And warning to the rich oppressors, and patient in suffering. And finally, it talks of prayer. Almost last portion of chapter 5, it talks about prayer. Very small portion, but it's very powerful. So these are the things that we can learn and apply into our lives and every day, every night. We can sit on the best Bible teacher and listen to nothing but the best sermons day in, day out, and still be carnal. How that can be? How can that be? How about the best example, Judas? Who can beat the qualification of Jesus? Nobody. He was not only sat on the feet of Jesus, he saw the miracles after miracles. Yet he completely ignored Jesus. Oh yeah, Judas was a practical, worldly, carnally practical. He was so practical that he sold his master for 30 coins of silver, which is the price of a slave. He didn't even get enough worth out of his master. So it can be an extremely practical book, but as I said, much information, much knowledge demands and requires responsibility to act. Martin Luther, who is a great reformer, once said, this book of James should not be included in the canon of Word of God. The reason is because Martin Luther, who... Any of you guys don't know Martin Luther well? Okay, I'll just give you a quick background. He was a monk in Germany, and he was following the Catholic and doctrines and whipping his body time after time because his thought runs wild and sin against God. So he tried to hurt himself by restricting his carnal thought with physical punishment. However, that didn't work well. And one day he was down at the Rome and then climbing up the steps. I heard it was many steps, 100 steps, on his knees, hands and knees, just to go up to the top of the steps. And there's a little portion where the red spot, they still heard that they still have in the Rome. And you didn't you say you guys going to Rome?
Yeah.
Oh, just look at it. Look from the airplane. You will see it. Yeah, you will see it. Red spot is a still fresh red spot. It's supposed to be blood of Christ. And covered with glass. And so they're supposed to climb up and kiss the glass and then your sins forgiven. Anyway, while he was climbing up, he was going, of course, he's been reading scripture in Latin, Vulgate. And all of a sudden, down to him from the book of Romans, you should be saved by faith. And he thought about it. Holy Spirit spoke to his heart. He said, okay. And he stood up and walked down. That was the end of it. And then he published his doctrine of the Reformation and pounded that thing on the each cathedral door. He was top of the blacklist from Pope, and he was just a sore in all the Catholic people. Because he strongly believed we are only saved by faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, by confessing with our mouth, he cannot accept that portion where the James talks about, show me the faith, I'll show you my deed. Faith without deed is dead. Now, that is a radical statement. So Martin Luther said that this cannot be part of canon. However, in the later days, he changed his mind. He told advisor of those who put together scriptures, said, you include the book of James in the Bible, but however, put it behind, way in the back like a Jude in Revelation. He admitted it is a great book for the Christian growth. Indeed, it is a very good book for Christian growth. Now, James gives a practical advice to how to live. and how to grow in the Lord. There are many people going into church Sunday mornings, Wednesday night, Tuesday night Bible study, and I will do that, thank you. Anyway, they listen sermons after sermons, and they don't do anything. They not only do the living for God, they're still living in carnal life. There are some people who will just listen, okay, that's nice, and go home. I heard that some people said, well, they cannot locate the Bible because they don't know where it left it since Sunday morning. And it's in the back of in the trunk or on the coffee table or somewhere. In the between the Sundays, we are supposed to read the Word every day. If we can feed our faith three times a day, for me, three times a day or more, that means we are feeding our body, physical body, well. But what about the soul? What about the spirit? Do we feed the spirit? There was a wise American Indian chief. I don't know, his name could be Running Bear or who knows what. Anyway, he was asked by the white man, and he said, he was very wise, so one guy asked him, how do you know how do you become a good person? He said, Indian chief said, there's two dogs live in your heart. One is a good dog, and the other one is a bad dog. And so the white man asked the Indian chief, which one is stronger in your heart? His wise man answered, whichever one I feed the most. So if we feed our inner man, as the Bible says, not inner dog, then if we feed that inner man with the Word of God, good food, good spiritual food, will be more like Christ. But if we feed our inner man with the carnal things, or if we don't feed at all, starve him, guess what? The inner man will die. And guess what? It takes over. You see, Christian life is like us riding a bicycle on a hill, uphill, preferably. I'm sure some of you guys ride bike all the time. There's a hill that you go. What do you do? If you just stop, you just balance, try to balance, what happened? You end up sliding backward. Christian life, you have to pedal constantly just to stay in the same position or to go up. If we don't do anything, guess what happens? Is we slide down. That's what we call backslide. Chuck Smith is a good teacher, and sometimes he's radical. He said, if you're not close to Jesus, closer to Jesus than yesterday, you have been backslidden. Ouch. That's rough, man. We all know that we are supposed to have a childlike faith. Great, but let's not be like childish. Childlike faith is great, but childish different. That's what we call carnal. That's what the book of James is against. The theme of book of James can be summarized in two words, spiritual maturity. That's what it's aiming for. Sometimes I feel that way when it's not just Calvary Tucson or other churches. Well, that's the latest one because we came out from there. Last 10 years, there are 5,000 people, and a lot of them, without any apology, I would say, bunch of gigantic babies, spiritual babies. They're living inside this church called Playpen and running around, butting their head off with each other and screaming at each other with the gossip, hurting each other with the gossip, but they are not growing. Why? Don't they have knowledge? You better believe it. Pastor Robert Ford teaches. He can teach. He is a great communicator. No one can argue with that. They learn. Do they practice? That's another thing. That's why the book of James said, do not be a hearer only, but be a doer. The author of the book of James is, guess who?
James.
Duh, right? So who is this James? James, there's a three James. And there's a little Jim right here. The first James is brother of John. Jesus called them sons of thunder because they one day they were passing by, they would not accept Jesus Christ. So should we call lightning fire from the heaven and make a Krispy Kreme? Not Krispy Kreme, they were Crispy
critter.
There we go. There's another guy named James among the disciples. The author of the book of James is neither one of them. Because this guy died in 44 AD. Book of James is known as written somewhere 60 AD. Unless he came back and reincarnated, which we don't believe. So I don't think he came back. So this is not him. This is not the author. This is not the author either. Guess who that is? This guy. Who is this guy? Brother of Jesus. And his nickname, he has two different names. James the Just, or he was called the Old Camel Knees. The reason why he was called as Old Camel Knees, guess where he got that thing? Because he prayed all the time on his knees. Book of James, we can see it was written to the 12 tribes, Jewish people, 12 tribes all over the world. If you notice that all the epistles written by Apostle Paul mainly talks about what? Grace. But if you read the book John, and three books of written by John, and the Revelation, and John itself, and even Mark, and Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, somehow you can feel the flavor of more the strict law. So you can pretty much say northern part of the author, who is Apostle Paul, talks about grace. And this guy's southern part of the authors talks about law and how that applies into Christianity. So there's two different things. James is a much different person. He was not a believer of Jesus Christ while Jesus was alive. As a matter of fact, he thought, yeah, he's a wacko. He's in La La Land. He's coming from Twilight Zone, TZ, you know. He didn't believe his brother. I would like to be brother of Jesus, who never do anything wrong. You cannot say, Mommy, Jesus did something wrong. Oh, he's touching me when he didn't touch you. So it's usually a really bad situation. I'm sure that affect him, his brother who is perfect. I had a brother who liked that. I think all the elder brothers should be dead. But, you know, that's my personal opinion. For a while, I thought he was Satan himself because this guy made all the top grade from the elementary school all the way to the college, and he is a musician. Get that? I'm the black sheep of the family. And so while he was polishing his halo, I was shining my sharpening my horn. That's the style. James didn't like his perfect brother, but didn't believe. Until his brother hung on the cross and died. And then when he saw him face to face, resurrected brother, but no longer as a brother, as a Lord and Savior. He becomes so influential, it literally, he became a pillar of Jewish Christianity. To name a few, he was both influential to Jews and the church, not only the Jewish Christian, non-Jewish Christian. Peter reported when he escaped from the prison, and Paul took the advice from James the Just, and he was a strict Jew himself, but author of the tolerant letter to the Gentile Christian. And we can find in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 13 through 29. And he endorsed the Paul's evangelism to the Gentile, but he himself mainly emphasized on the Jewish Christian. No, they are not coming after you, relax. His life work is to win the Jew. And his was very effective because he was on his knees and praying. According to Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, Roman army destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. And still, Jewish people were there, and a lot of them were converting to the Jewish Christian. And he, James the Just, was the pillar and the leader of that brand new church. And as he was martyred, and he was speaking to God, forgive them, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing, just like his brother. So let's go to, we get to go into the verse 1. We can get there. James, a bond servant. What's the matter, Louise? Don't be smart aleck on me. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. We'll stop there. It says, James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't find the word Lord Jesus Christ that often in the New Testament epistles. A lot of times Lord Jesus, or a lot of times Lord Christ. Not often you see the Lord Jesus Christ in full name. All right, I asked you to underline, I'd like to ask you to underline the bond servant. What is the bond servant? Let's do a fancy Greek word study. That's all. I spelled it wrong. I spelled extra O there. Forgive me. D-U-L-O-S is a singular. D-U-R-O-I is a plural. Doulos is a bond servant, not just any servant. It's a special servant. What is a bond servant?
Servant for life.
Servant for life, correct. According to Jewish law, let's say I am Jim Parker's servant, slave. That is true, according to the Word of God. If, let's say he is my master and we got along well, and after the 7 years, if I'm a Jew, he's supposed to release me without anything. He had to let me go. If I have a family under his care, family remains. That's a bummer part. But if my family came with me under his stewardship, the family can live with me. But if I got the family with under stewardship, the family stays. Anyway, after 7 years, not only become good friend, we built the rapport and I start to like this guy, and I feel like he's my own father or my brother or whatever, and my, like a family. And I say, I have a choice. I can say, sayonara, Jim Parker, I'm out of here. Or I can say, Jim, I'd like to be a bond servant. Then what he does, he take me to pull me by the ear, put it against me, the doorpost, and nail me, literally nail me against the doorpost and make a hole and put the gold earring. Not in your lifetime. You're not going to do that. Yeah. So when you see some, let's say we are all in Jerusalem and we saw a man walking down the street with a gold earring on the right side only. That means he's not gay. He is a bond servant. That means I will stay with my master by my choice for the rest of my life. Now, that goes in vice versa. If I become his bond servant, he has obligation. Obligation to take care of me for the rest of my life. Not as a servant, as a friend. So I become his slave, even though I was set free from bondage of being a just regular slave, now I become bond servant, volunteered servant, and he had to take care of me. Let's put that thing in Christianity. Remember, Old Testament is to fulfill the New Testament. New Testament is prophesy the New Testament. Let's try again. Old Testament is to prophesy the New Testament. New Testament is to fulfill the Old Testament. That law, slave law, we can put that thing into the Christianity. We were once a bondage, under the bondage of Satan. We were slaves. But Jesus Christ set us free with his own ransom. So he set us free as, but we choose to be his servant. We become his bond servant. And by doing so, he's have to take care of us the rest of our eternal life. What a deal, right? So that is how it works. So bond servant is a very important word. Now, if I am James, I wouldn't start this beginning of this important letter in such a way. I would say, James, half brother of Jesus Christ. And then, by the way, do you need my autographed 8x10 color photo? I'll sign it for you. And there's a business card right behind my photo, that kind of thing. He does not show anything of the relationship, his blood-brother relationship. He does not pull the rank on anyone except simply saying, bond servant of God. Now, this word God is in Greek word theos, theos. We will find this very often. And then, and of Lord Jesus Christ. What is this Lord in Greek word? Kyrios. K-Y-R-I-O-S. Kyrios. This word, theos, is non-arguable, if there's such a word like that. It's complete. It's a God. Cannot be argued. Kyrios is different. It's more Greek term and more Roman term, used by emperor himself also. That's why a lot of Christian people died, martyred in the Colosseum, because they wouldn't call their Roman emperor Kyrios. Why? What's the big deal? This Kyrios has the definition of divinity. Not just any Lord, any God, any master. This is capital M master. This is a capital L Lord. In other words, It's a divinity. It's God. So what the emperor wanted, the emperor of Rome wanted is, I am God, so call me God as your God. Jewish people, the Christian people who would not accept there is no other God except Jesus Christ. So they would say, no, I will die. That's why there is a bunch of martyrs happen. Roman people, it's no big deal. They had about 200,000 gods laying around all over. One extra god wouldn't make any difference. So call Emperor Kyrios? Sure, I'll call him a few more times with other names. But to Christian people, no. So that's where causing problem. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And James is telling us to be the servant. As he is a pillar of the Jewish Christian community, he wants all of us to remember we are here to serve Jesus and to serve other people. And as I said before, the obligation of the master had to take care of all our need. And God says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, My God will provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. So when we have a problem, we are supposed to bring our problem to him and asking our master to take care of it.
General,
yes?
What book and verse did you say that was?
What?
Just now.
Yeah.
Philippians 4:19. God will provide all our need according to his riches in glory. Okay, application. Let's make a couple of applications. Number one, this year, I know some of you guys already made a New Year's resolution and already broke it. That's no big deal. Huh?
I didn't break mine.
Because you didn't have anything. Guys, let's be the bond servant of Jesus Christ. That means not only we serve our God, but also we serve one another. I like to see that our church, Calvary Chapel Sarita, become mature Christian church. How can it be mature Christian church? By knowing so much about Bible? No, I'd rather know little and do what I know. You follow me? We are supposed to do what we know. And let's abide the bondservant. This is very important. Bondservant does not do what he or she wants. Bondservant does what the master wants. What his wish become our command. Second application. It is not about what we are. All right, we are Christian. That means we are Christ-like. It's not about what we are, but it is all about whom we are with. You follow me? It is not about what we are, but it is about whom we are with. The association of identity. We are with Jesus. That is the important thing, not who we are. Who we are is not important. As a matter of fact, it's not even coming to the picture. We finished one verse. I'm so proud of myself.
General,
yes?
Back to the first...